I'm very blessed here today. By the way, if you didn't notice, while I was walking up and I tripped my foot there, Bryce was yelling, break a leg, and I was quite concerned. So I'm very blessed here today because being one of the many youth leaders that we have in our ministry, I have the opportunity to preach today, to share God's word while we celebrate all these graduates who I've had the blessing of being a part of their lives, and they've helped encourage me and just made my job awesome and fun, and I love all these graduates here, and I'm just proud of you all. So it's such a great opportunity to be able to share the word today while we're celebrating them graduating. I did this last year as well, and it's very convenient because I'm 24 years old. I'm fresh into this life of adulting, 6 years in, still trying to grab a hold of what being an adult is, and I'm assuming that all of you who are much further down the line are probably still trying to grasp what being an adult is. And so to kind of encourage you all, graduates, to get you guys excited for what's in store, I like to share some of the things that are coming up in your life of adulting now that you're graduating. You have taxes. You have work. Lots of work. You're probably going to have college. College is a lot harder than high school, I promise you. You're going to have bills. You're going to have budgeting. You're going to have, living, places. Am I going to stay in an apartment? Then I got to get good credit. I got to get renter's insurance. There's a lot coming up. You're going to have a vehicle, paying insurance. Some of you may have these responsibilities now, but does any of this sound fun? Yeah, good, good. Good attitude, Gabe. That's what I like to hear. That's exactly the right answer, Gabe. You're excited for adulting. But with all that, there is some hard things. There's a lot of work, but there's also some really joyful, awesome things. For instance, you get to study at a higher level things that you enjoy studying. I study the Bible, in my college classes, and I absolutely love what I study. I love my job. You're going to find jobs that you really enjoy doing. You're going to get the sense of joy from the hard work you put in. And you're also gonna build relationships that are closer than you've ever had now that you're an adult with brothers and sisters. And you're also gonna find relationships in the opposite sex. And you might end up like me, getting married in 20 days. Can I get an amen? Amen. Yeah, it's a very exciting time. Adulting's cool. You get some awesome joys. So I get to kind of cover some of what adulting's going to be like today. You see, last year, I talked about adulting. I explained this verb that we take, which means to adult. All right, I've explained adulting. I went through that last year. And the purpose of last year's message was making Jesus the priority of your life in all of the busyness, in all of the hard things and the craziness that's going on. This year, I want to kind of talk about what's going to get in the way of you making Jesus the priority of your busy life. What's going to get in the way of your success in school, in work, in relationships, things that are going to try to hinder you and be stumbling blocks in your life. That's what I'm going to talk about today, because these things were very helpful to me as I was growing, learning what it's like to be an adult, and I'm finding these struggles and things that are hindering me. And I found here in God's Word some really great encouragement for this in the book of Nehemiah. And we're in chapter 4, so if you want to open your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 4, that's where we're going to be today. Fun fact about Nehemiah, he's the second shortest man in the Bible. Nehemiah? Yeah. The first is Bildad the shoe height. I've heard that joke from Pastor Mike a total of 728 times. And I'm so glad I finally got to use it. I've been waiting a long time. So here in Nehemiah 4... we have this man, Nehemiah. He's an absolute stud. This guy is godly as all get out. And he's the cupbearer for the king at this time. And he finds out from his brother that his people in Jerusalem, his people from Israel in Jerusalem, are really struggling right now. They're struggling because they're under reproach. They're under stress. Their walls are broken down. The gates are burned down. And so Nehemiah, this godly man, he feels for his people. He starts to cry for his people, and he starts to pray and fast for his people, and he seeks the Lord on it. And the Lord blesses Nehemiah with an opportunity that the king even grants him to go help his people in Jerusalem to fix these issues, to bring them back to the Lord and to fix this wall. Now, I know we prayed for the president today, but I'm not here to make a reference to building a wall. That is not the goal of Nehemiah today. The purpose here is, in chapter 4, we have this time where Nehemiah, he got everyone riled up. He went to Jerusalem. He got all of his people excited to start building. And they're all building this wall. They're doing great work. If you read the entire chapter of chapter 3, it's literally just a list of people who stepped up to do the job. It's one by one. This man stepped up. This woman stepped up. These people stepped up. It's awesome. Nehemiah got them riled up to do the work. And then in chapter 4 is when the reproach comes. This is when the people who are trying to tear them down come. There's a few individuals outside of Jerusalem, like Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arab. There's a lot of people outside of Jerusalem, outside the wall, who are trying to keep the people of Israel down. They're trying to discourage them, and they're trying to hinder them from doing the work of building the wall. And so Nehemiah, in chapter 4, he's a very wise man. He's a very godly man. He sees that they're trying to discourage the work, the builders. And this is what he does. In chapter 4, in verse 1, it says, Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall. This is from the perspective of Nehemiah. He's narrating here. He says, Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, and he became furious and very angry and mocked the Jews. He spoke in the presence of his brothers and the wealthy men of Samaria. What are these feeble Jews doing? Are they going to restore it for themselves? Can they offer sacrifices? Can they finish in a day? He starts coming at the Jewish people. This man's trying to tear them down. You can't get this done. And then his friend Tobiah joins him. His friend in verse 3, Tobiah, comes out and he says, "Even you know, what are they building? If a fox would jump on it, it would break down." He's like, "You guys aren't doing a good work." Their strategy here is to discourage the builders, to discourage Israel so that they won't be able to finish the job because they don't want them to get the job done. Well, Nehemiah here, he responds brilliantly. Nehemiah, his plan of action when discouragement comes, and this is an encouragement to me, when discouragement comes your way, when hindrances come your way from completing a task, do the Nehemiah method. Nehemiah here nips it in the bud. He tries to stop it right away. He says in verse 4, as soon as the discouragement comes, he says, "Hear, O our God, how we are despised. Return their reproach on their own heads and give them up for plunder in a land of captivity. Do not forgive their iniquity and let not their sin be blotted out before you, for they have demoralized our builders." Nehemiah's first plan of action is go to the Lord. He's like, "I know that discouragement's coming. I know that you're trying to attack us, so I'm going straight to God, the all-powerful God." That's his plan of action. And then in verse 6, because of Nehemiah aiming to nip this in the bud, being a diligent man when discouragement came, it says that Nehemiah says, "We built the wall, and the whole wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work." Let's go, Nehemiah. He sees the discouragement, he nips it in the bud, and they continue to work, and the people are encouraged, and they're working hard. So then, what happens next is it gets more than just words and discouragement. It now turns to physical threats in verse 7. Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, the Ashdodites, they heard that the repairs of the wall of Jerusalem went on and that the breaches began to be closed, so they became even more angry. And all of them conspired together to come out and fight against Jerusalem and cause a disturbance. So now they're like, words aren't hurting these people. Nehemiah is shutting us down. Discouragement's not working. We're going to come at them physically. So when physical threats came, Nehemiah's solution is the same as before. I'm going to nip this in the bud. So we have Nehemiah in verse 9. He says, "But we prayed to our God. And because of them, we set up a guard against them day and night." So he has a plan of action when discouragement comes. He's prepared ahead of time. If discouragement comes, if people come to hinder us, I'm praying. He did it again. He went straight to prayer. I'm going straight to God. And then he took action. He set up guards day and night so that if this physical threat does come, they would be prepared. Now this is great for Nehemiah. It's a great plan of action. You know, he nips it in the bud. He doesn't let this discouragement bring him down. And I'd love to say that in this story, I'm more like Nehemiah, but that's not the truth. The truth is, in this story, I'm a lot more like Israel. And I bet a lot of you can relate to this, or at some point in your life will relate to this, because Israel here, although Nehemiah was very diligent, although Nehemiah aimed to nip this in the bud, Israel here, they got concerned about this threat. They let the discouragement build up inside them. They let all these hard things happening build up trash in their life. And in verse 10, it says, "Thus in Judah it was said, the strength of the burden bearers is failing. Yet there is much rubbish, and we ourselves are unable to build the wall." The people of Israel, four verses ago, had a mind to work. And now after all this discouragement and this build-up trash, it says that there was so much rubbish. After all this rubbish and trash building up, their strength started failing, and they did not believe that they could rebuild the wall. I relate a lot more to Israel in this situation. They allowed fear to cripple them. They allowed failure to build up in their life. Defeat, self-loathing, laziness, physical rubbish. They look around them and they see debris, they see broken walls, and they look at the wall they're building. They say there's still a lot to get done. They allow all of this to discourage them and bring them down and demotivate them. They allow sin to build up rubbish in their life. The reason they're in this situation is because of them sinning against God and Him putting them into captivity for 70 years and then bringing them back. They realize all of this build up trash in their life is around them, and they feel so discouraged, they feel so down, that they don't think they can build the wall. They give up. Their strength is failing. Well, what does this look like in my life? Well, I'll tell you, I have the same struggles here of fear. Fear when it comes to school, to my job, to my bills. As I'm preparing for marriage, there's fear there. Am I going to have enough money for that? Failure. Well, we all fail at some point. I tell you, I've been there. Defeat, self-loathing. This is trash that builds up in my life. Laziness, knowing I have a lot to get done and still just sitting on my couch watching TV to kind of ignore these responsibilities I have. Physical rubbish. Now, this doesn't seem important, but trust me, this is important. When I walk into my room and my room's a giant mess, my life is probably a mess as well. I go to my car, and my right side of my car, Dan, please don't laugh, the right side, my passenger seat has a lot of trash built up on the floor, and every time Dan Klein tries getting in my car, there's a struggle. Physical rubbish in my life, sin. There's sin in my life that discourages me, that the enemy uses to keep me down and keep me feeling like I'm not worth anything. It's all trash that builds up in our lives. This is rubbish that fails our strength, that it diminishes us, and it makes us feel like we can't get the job done. So that's where Israel is, and that's where I've been, and that's where a lot of us have been or will be. Luckily for us, when we move to verse 14, Nehemiah, this wise, godly man who always has a plan of action, it says that when he saw their fear, when Nehemiah looked at his people, he sees that they're moping around. He sees that they're discouraged. He sees they're not able to get the job done. He takes action. Nehemiah, he rises. He speaks to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people. He's like Braveheart right now. He gives a speech. He says, "Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers. Fight for your sons, your daughters, your wives. Fight for your homes." And you know what? I got revved up when I heard that. I said, man, I got a lot of things in my life that I need to do. And you just hit the nail on the head. The first thing that Nehemiah does here, he says, you're looking at all this trash. You're looking at your rubble, your rubbish. You're looking at the sin. You're looking at the defeat. You're looking at the failure. You're looking at the physical, horrible trash around you, your dirty room, your broken walls. He says, take your eyes off this rubbish and look up at God. That's what Nehemiah's call here is. Do not be afraid. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. The Lord who created the universe and is on your side. That's what Nehemiah brings them to. And then he encourages them, you have things to fight for. You have a family. You have a home. You have to work hard. Because you got to take care of these things. You're responsible for these things. Graduates, you're going to be responsible for a lot more things than you've ever been responsible for as you begin to start adulting. In 20 days, I'm going to be responsible for another life, and that it will be my beautiful wife. I'm going to have to work harder. And that's what Nehemiah calls his people to. It's so awesome. And after his speech, the people respond. They respond excited, and they start to work harder than ever. They realize this threat that's among them, and they say, you know what? We're going to build this wall. So they start building while holding weapons. Imagine in one hand they're hammering with a sword at their side or a spear at their side because they're ready to attack while they're building. They work harder. They get the wall done. They build it. And then after they build the wall, they come back to the Lord. They find scriptures they're being preached to every day, and they're listening to what God's word says, and they're responding to it. They said, hold up, that's what God's word said? I need to live like that. And they change as a nation, and they start following God, and it's this beautiful thing. And it says throughout the rest of Nehemiah that they're living in joy and peace because of this. Joy and peace that they didn't know at this point in time. This is an awesome picture of how our lives look when we take out the trash, when we handle the rubbish in our life. You ever, graduates, you could probably relate to this. In your home, your parents ask you to take out the trash. This happens to me. I still live with my parents until next Thursday. This happens to me quite a bit. Mom says, hey, take out the trash. And I'm like, all right, Mom. And I go to the trash, and I realize that it hasn't been taken out in a very long time. And the rubbish has built up. Now it's overflowing. And the bag, I know that I'm going to have to, the bag's already sunken in the trash can. I'm going to have to dig my hand in and pull it out, and things are going to fall out. I'm going to have to pick them up with my hands. And at the top of the trash, there's banana peels that have been in there for over a day. It's disgusting. And it makes me not want to take out the trash. We need to handle the rubbish. You need to take out the trash. Because if you don't, guess what? It's going to build up more. It's just going to keep building up. Although Nehemiah was a man with a plan, he was a stud, he was able to nip it in the bud when discouragement came. That rhymed, that was really cool. Even though he was able to do that when discouragement came, the rest of Israel, they didn't do that. But you know what? Even though there was much rubbish and even though there was much trash, they had to handle it. I don't know how much trash is in your life right now. You need to take out the trash. You need to take care of it now. It's going to keep piling up. It's going to become worse. You're going to stay discouraged. And the Lord does not want you to live like that. He wants you to live in peace and joy and freedom. So what rubbish in your life do you have now that you need to bring to the Lord? This rubbish will get in your way. Graduates, I'm going to encourage you now. This rubbish will get in your way of your school. You all, I'm so proud of. You're all succeeding in going to awesome schools. You have goals. You have plans. You're excited about the things you're going to do in the future. And I'm excited for you. Don't allow rubbish to get in the way of that. Don't allow this trash to get in the way of your work. Don't allow it to get in the way of your relationships. Most importantly, do not allow this trash to get in the way of your walk with the Lord. Do not let the rubbish in your life hold you back from making Jesus your priority and living for him. What rubbish do you need to bring to the Lord today? Is it sin? Well, let me tell you something. If you have sin that's building up in your life, it's a great thing that we have Jesus. Because Christ gave his life so that he could be the payment for those sins. Those sins don't have to hold you back anymore. Last week when John Desiderio preached, he preached about how because of Christ's sacrifice, we live in freedom. We don't have to be chained down by those sins. If you believe and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, your sins are paid for. You could take care of them. You could bring them to the Lord. What other rubbish do we need to bring to the Lord? Fear? Failure? Well, let me tell you what Jesus says about that in John 16. In John 16, right before he goes to the cross to pay the price for your sins, his disciples are all around him, and he lets them know, I'm about to leave you. And his disciples are like, Jesus, please don't leave us. Like, they don't want him to go. They don't understand why he has to go. They're like, Jesus, don't leave. We'll stay with you. He's like, guys, you're going to fail me. When I go to the cross, you know, some of you are going to deny me. You're going to fail me. But that's okay. He says in verse 33 of John 16, these things I've spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. You have fear. You have failure. It's a good thing that we have a Savior who hasn't failed. We have a Savior who's victorious and conquered death, and he could take away your fears and failures and give you peace and courage. It's beautiful. Take your eyes off the rubbish and look up to God. Do you have discouragement in your life? Well, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are a new creation. You're a child of God, the God of all the universe, the God who created everything. You are his child, and he loves you. You are part of his family. You have the Holy Spirit in you, and you have worth and a purpose. Don't allow discouragement to hold you back from that worth and purpose. So now, as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper, Mike, you can come on up. As we prepare here today, I think it's such a perfect timing because the same way that Nehemiah calls us to not be afraid but remember God, the point of the Lord's Supper, the point of communion, is for us to remember what Jesus has done for us. It's to remember Christ. It's to remember that he's the one who paid the price with his death, with his body on the cross for our sins, so that by believing in him, we can have eternal life and we can live a life of joy and peace and purpose. And we're here to remember that today. So if you have trash and rubbish in your life, bring it to the Lord. Remember Jesus who paid the price for all of that. Bring it to him. Don't allow it to control your life. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, if you haven't accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, then I want to encourage you not to take part of communion, because the point of this is to remember Jesus. But if you want to know who Jesus is, please come talk to us. We got pastor over here, pastor over there. I'd be glad to talk to you. I think anyone here in this congregation who knows Jesus would be happy to talk to you. Please let us know, and we will share with you who Jesus is, and we could deal with the rubbish in your life.